Right now, we're going to talk with Megan O'Neill. She is the lab manager at the National Genotyping Center, and we appreciate her time. Megan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So where is the National Genotyping Center located at?
So the National Agricultural Genotyping Center, we're located here in Fargo, North Dakota. We're on the NDSU campus in one of the USDA buildings.
And it's obviously supported by the North Dakota Soybean Council, at least the assay that we're going to talk about here in just a moment. So at the Genotyping Center, as far as agriculture goes, what types of things do you do on a daily basis?
So what we do is we take a lot of the research that academia researchers produce, so a lot of the molecular tools that are available, we bring them to and apply them in a way that everyday people can use them. So if you think about it, a lot of the research that is available, the top tier is always human health, then it goes to animal health, and kind of lower down is agriculture when it comes to applying all of this technology and DNA technology. So what we're doing is taking all of that technology that's used in clinical labs every day, we're applying it in an agricultural setting. So when it comes to looking for certain pathogens, we can do a test for that. It's a couple-hour test that we can find the DNA of a certain pathogen that could be contaminating or causing a problem in a field. The test we're going to talk about today is using that technology in a corn to ethanol plant setting.
Okay, gotcha. And where your name actually came up recently in a lot of news, the Palmer Amaranth story out of North Dakota, and I know that the Palmer Amaranth got sent to a genotyping center to be verified, the DNA. So did that come to you?
Correct. Yep. So those, all the North Dakota samples have been coming through our lab. Yep.
Okay. Very good. Well, let's get into one of the main reasons why we have you on today. We want you to talk a little bit more about the corn to ethanol assay that's been developed, and the assay will test for contaminated lactic acid bacteria commonly found in the fermentation process. Now, it's a lot of bigger words than I normally say, but maybe just kind of take us through what you do.
Sure. So I'm just going to kind of start from the beginning. So in the corn to ethanol plant, fermentation is used to take the corn and convert the sugars in the corn into an end product of ethanol. And they use that by employing yeast into their fermentation tank. So similar to how you make beer, if there's anybody that knows how to brew beer. Similar concept. So one of the byproducts of yeast is ethanol. Now, in that fermentation tank, which is about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, maybe 92 degrees Fahrenheit, that's also a really great breeding ground for bacteria. And some of the bacteria can be harmful to the fermentation process, because what happens is that they're also eating that corn, that corn mash and those sugars, but they're not converting it to ethanol. So in the end, the ethanol yield goes down if you have a high bacteria contamination. So the current technology that ethanol plants use is they look for the byproducts of the bacteria, which is lactic acid and acetic acid. The drawback to looking for these byproducts is sometimes they don't show up until hour 12 or 16 of the 50 or 60 long fermentation process. So you kind of have a 16-hour window. The first 16 hours of the fermentation process are the most important. Everything after that, it's kind of, you know, you just go to the end. So if you have a contamination problem or a contamination event, you know, your window of opportunity is within those first 12 to 16 hours.
Okay. So the research you're doing will be, I guess the main benefactor will be the ethanol industry as a whole. Is that right?
Right. So what we did is we took these DNA tools and we designed a test that they can run in their plant to measure the levels of bacteria. So instead of looking for the bacteria byproducts, we're looking for the actual bacteria and the DNA in the bacteria. And so instead of getting the result at hour 16 and beyond and kind of trying to play catch up during that batch of that firm batch, our turnaround time is about, if they use this test in their plant, they can get their result within 2 hours.
So when you do a study like this, is this like the methodology or the results that you use, are the results only good to this region or is it good anywhere?
No, it's good anywhere. So what's really special about this test is, so we used all of our really sophisticated molecular tools in the lab to develop it and to make it a really great test. And then we thought, okay, how can we take this out of our lab and put it at the plant? Because these ethanol plants, they don't have time to send us their sample and for us to do the testing and send them the result. You know, that takes a day or longer. They need the result within that limited 12-hour period. So so it's very special that it's easy enough that it can be done not by, you know, somebody that works in a lab. The operators have been successful running this, and then they get their result within a couple hours before these byproducts are even showing on their machine. So it buys them, it can buy them up to 8 hours of time to mitigate any contamination events.
Wow, that is amazing. I should ask you real quick, Megan, how many people are working at the Genotyping Center? And when you have like a project like this, is your entire center dedicated to that or do you just have specific people working on it?
So good question. So right now we have 4 full-time scientists and then I guess 1 full-time administration person, so my boss. And when we do this project, kind of took, I would say, 2 of us worked primarily on it, but only 50% of our time. It's best if we have multiple projects because you can't out, if we're growing up bacteria, you can't always, you know, sometimes it takes a day or two, so it's good to have another project to switch gears to. So that's sort of how we manage the projects. Everybody has at least one going.
So when you're working with the ethanol industry, is this going to be like a continuing relationship?
Hopefully. And so, yeah, hopefully so we've been in 5 plants and it's gone really well. And so the whole setup, you know, it takes, it's not very much space at all, I would say. You can't see my hands, but I'm showing through the phone. I would say, you know, 2 feet by 4 feet just on a desk somewhere. Even we had it in one of the lab manager's offices for a few weeks when they were testing it. But it's a very small footprint, and, yeah, it's just a new way to look at the bacteria and try to get, you know, when we started the project, they kept telling us we need to see, you know, we need the results sooner or faster. So we kept thinking, okay, well, how can we get you the result before 12 hours? And so this is how we did it. So we ended up buying them about 8 hours of time.
Well, that is fantastic. So for anybody that wants to learn more about what you're doing at the National Genotyping Center here in Fargo, I'll be honest, I didn't know it was here in Fargo. I do now. It does not surprise me. But if anybody wants to learn more about what you're working on, can they find it on a website?
Sure. Yep. Our website is genotypingcenter.com. And then you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at NAGC Lab. So that's National Agricultural Genotyping Center.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for giving us a kind of behind the curtain look at what is happening at the Genotyping Center. Megan, we appreciate the time. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again.
Very good. Thanks again. Have a good day.
You too. That is Megan O'Neill. She is the lab manager at the National Genotyping Center.